This is the January 2017 Investment Conditions Report, recording this Friday, January 6th. Hope everyone's having a good new year so far. And this is our monthly objective review, or where are we in terms of investment conditions, market valuations, economic trends, market internals in terms of the trend data, momentum data, the level of investor sentiment relative to for global investors. And pretty good year overall when we look at the stock market. The All Country World Index ended the year at 7.9% in U.S. dollars terms. Year to date on local currency terms for the calendar year 2016, we are at 9%. And that was led, the overall global stock market was led by the U.S. stock market, which was up 10.9% year to date. Emerging markets was also a big contributor. That was up 11.2% in U.S. dollar terms. And pretty good year, but it was generally a rough year in terms of, as we started out in early part of the year, we had a market sell-off. Market conditions were essentially neutral the entire year, overall market conditions, but they sort of by February 2016 had got to low neutral as market internals were red. And then going into that first half, economic trends started to deteriorate. We weren't quite to the level where a recession was imminent, but the risk of a recession was pretty high. Now we're in a much better position. And I'll go into a little more detail in terms of PMI data, but things have definitely improved in terms of the economic trend data, and that's moved us into the high side of neutral, but still neutral. Market internals have definitely improved, particularly following the U.S. presidential election, and are now on the upper side of neutral, having been red earlier this year. And we've had a pretty strong market rebound since February when things turned. What has deteriorated throughout 2016 were market valuations for stocks. We've been in a situation where we've had global stock markets accelerating or essentially rising, but we've not had the follow-through in earnings growth. Earnings declined year over year. Now, we've not had fourth quarter earnings report. All estimations is earnings will be better this quarter, and so that's a positive. Analysts are expecting over the next year earnings to increase 13% to 15%. This is globally, with the vast majority of countries expecting positive earnings growth in 2017. So we start the year really a good foundation in terms of the economics. The economies globally are doing well, as evidenced by PMI data. We have a pretty very strong breadth in terms of economic trend data. If we look at the J.P. Morgan Global PMI, was 52.7 in its most recent release. It's its highest level since February 2014. Output, so these are business surveys done around the world. They're asking businesses, how's business doing? They ask about different elements. They ask about employment. They ask about output, new orders. And so output, what they're producing, rose to its best level in 2.5 years. And new orders climbed to their highest level since July 2014. And new orders have been up, that rating's been up for 4 months in a row. New exports were at 27-month high, and employment rose to the best level since August 2011. So generally, businesses are very positive about their prospects. That's based on the manufacturing PMI, so manufacturers. When we add in service companies, and we look at the J.P. Morgan Global Composite PMI, that came in at 53.4, so up a little bit from last month, just below its long-term average of 53.7. Now, one of the risks in the markets right now and in the global economy is inflation. The inflation measure of PMI, manufacturing PMI, was at its highest level since 2011. We've had a rebound in oil prices, and so you're going to start seeing inflation pick up just because commodity prices are increasing. But you're starting to see a little bit of wage pressure. Year-over-year increases in wages for U.S. workers in terms of the employment report that was just released was 2.9%. So that's its highest annual increase since 2009. With the improvement in economic trends, you're starting to see interest rates climb. Interest rates globally in developed markets, or at least, well, in the U.S. market, increased by 1% over, really since the end of the presidential election. And so that has definitely had an impact on bonds, but bonds ended up positive overall for the year. If we look at the global bond market, it returned 2.8% year to date. The U.S. market investment grade up 2.6%. Non-investment grade bonds did extremely well for the year, up global high yield bonds up 14.3%, U.S. corporate high yield 17.1%. What we saw is high yield bonds were about 8% at the beginning of 2016, the yields, and they have fallen to 6%. So with the valuation or essentially yields falling, prices went up, plus you were collecting that 6 to 8% type yield, and that resulted in double-digit returns for the high-yield bond market. And when we look at that, what we really want to look at is, well, what is the incremental yield you get for non-investment-grade bonds relative to U.S. Treasuries, for example, or other government bonds? And when we looked at that, at the beginning of the year, it was around 6%, so an incremental yield of roughly 6%, and we're now down to, it looks like around 3.6% incremental yield. The long-term average is 5%, so we've gone from above-average incremental yield for high-yield bonds to below average. It's something to monitor. I'm not overly concerned. If we look at the model portfolios, for example, there's an active non-investment grade bond manager in terms of Vanguard. They're actually selecting bonds. And so as long as you have a manager that's sort of selecting where there's weak credits, it's something we should be okay if there's no evidence that the economy is slowing. And given the PMI data, we're not in a situation where it looks like default rates for high-yield bonds, particularly with some prudent bond selection, are going to pick up. But generally, you're still collecting about a 6% yield on non-investment-grade bonds. Now, when we look at where are we, as with rates have gone up, inflation expectations have increased. So last April, expected inflation was, even just a few months ago, five-year expected inflation rate as priced into Treasury inflation protection securities was about 1.5%. Now we're close to 2%. So you're starting to see a creep up in inflation expectations. Now there's not a wholesale risk of, and it's not as if all these different indicators of inflation are suggesting inflation is imminent. We were at very, very low levels, actually risk of deflation, and now it's normalized. But it's just something to keep in mind, because if the Trump administration does some type of stimulus package, tax cuts, there is the risk the economy could grow even faster and you could get some essentially the utilization of infrastructure, et cetera, productivity utilization that's what causes inflation, right? When you have resources that are getting stretched because you don't have the capacity utilization, and that can push up inflation. So it's something to keep in mind, and the central banks, Federal Reserve, could raise interest rates even faster than the market expects. And so what do we, in terms of returns for risk assets in 2017, that's the biggest risk, is will the Fed raise interest rates faster than the market anticipates? Will inflation take hold? Will rates rise higher? And will that impact valuations? When you look at the U.S. stock market, it's richly valued. There's no way around it. And the U.S. market has had the biggest increase in valuations than pretty much any developed market in 2016. When we look at where the overall earnings yield, for example, was at the beginning of 2016 for the U.S. market. Let me find that. So at the beginning of the year, well, the global stocks, just so global stocks overall, showed at the beginning of 2016, the earnings yield was 5.6%. It's now down to 4.8%. And same for U.S., I believe it's down, well, their current the U.S. market's current earnings yield, which is the inverse of its price-to-earnings ratio, is 4.3%. It was over 5% at the beginning of the year. The U.K. market is also very richly valued, down to an earnings yield of 3.6%. At the beginning of 2016, it was over 6%. And that's mainly because earnings fell about 40% in the U.K. in 2016. And that was really probably through September 2016. And that was just, there's a couple of big oil companies that make up the UK market. Shell, for example, BP is in that market. They're a pretty big weight in the index. So that does influence it. But there's no way around it. Earnings or valuations are higher than they were at the beginning of 2016. And that's because we've not, earnings declined year over year. But analysts expect global earnings to increase 13% next year. We need that earnings growth in order to continue to sustain a secular bull market, as long as investors don't get too bullish. And that's when we turn to market internals, that's another potential risk. Market internals look really good right now in terms of trend data and momentum data. The trend data, when we look at the percent of global markets above their 200-day moving average, we're at 72%. In terms of global markets with rising 200-day moving averages, so we have the trend. We look at what a particular index has traded for over the past 200 days, and is that average going up? There's an upward slope, and 87% of global markets have an upward slope. That's the highest since September 2015. And so that's good momentum. That's good trend data. That's good market internals. We need to temper our enthusiasm because of the extreme bullishness right now that investors are looking at. And in terms of, this is based on investor surveys. And when investors get very, very bullish, they get, potentially when disappointment comes along, some unexpected political or economic news can result in a short-term market sell-off. And that's something to certainly consider. But given the economic trends appear positive, then based on PMI data, based on other leading indicators, overall, investment conditions remain in neutral, suggesting investors should keep their portfolio in line with their long-term allocation. This is not necessarily a time to be significantly pulling back risk based on market conditions. As we talked about a couple episodes in the podcast, should you sell your stocks before Trump takes office, we need to recognize there is a big uncertainty in terms of a new presidential administration. And the decision to whether to sell a stock or not, or to reduce your exposure, is really based on regret. We don't know what's going to happen. We look at the investment conditions right now, they're positive, generally neutral. But if markets sell off based on some unexpected news and you feel overly exposed and will have a great deal of regret in terms of the losses, then potentially you would reduce your exposure now. But if you're just trying to be objective, looking at overall investment conditions, they're neutral. And generally, investment conditions in terms of economic trends are on the high side of neutral. Market internals are on the high side of neutral. Valuations are on the low side of neutral. So that certainly tempers some of our enthusiasm. Be great if markets were cheaply priced right now. Be a great time to increase allocation, but they're not. So we have to temper that enthusiasm and generally stay close to our long-term asset allocation target. So that's an overview of investment conditions. I'll certainly be taking a closer look at inflation to see where we are there, to look at central banks, to see the pace in which the U.S. Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, to the extent other central banks reduce their level of quantitative easing or other accommodations that they have been providing the markets. But that's the risk out there. The risk is inflation. The risk is investors are very exuberant right now, so potential disappointment there. There's certainly a risk of high valuations in terms of the stock market, premium valuations in terms of non-investment grade bonds, in terms of the incremental yield. We have some valuation concerns with REITs, with their yields below average. And so there's not a ton that's extremely undervalued right now. Master Limited Partnership have had a strong rebound. They were up almost 20% in 2016. So their yields have gone from 9% down to 7%. That's still an above average yield, but certainly not the extreme undervaluation we saw at the beginning of the year. And so there's not a lot you can turn to and say, here's a dirt cheap asset class that we should take advantage of. So we're really in a situation where buy and hold, monitoring investment conditions, not necessarily reducing risk based on those conditions, but not increasing risk either, because we do have a new incoming administration and we need to see what transpires with that as there is a transition of power in the U.S. So that's this month's investment conditions report.